Dad, glad you're here. We're excited about today because we're going to preach more of the Bible. And we like that. We're all about the Bible. So, Book of Luke, we're going to talk about judging. And there's good judging and bad judging. We're going to talk mostly about the bad judging. Don't do it. Just a hint. That's a spoiler. Don't judge.
Yeah, now I don't have to talk.
Okay, now Debbie's off the hook. So, all right. Good night. Thank you. So let's do what we do. Let's start with a word of prayer. Let's read the scripture. We'll bring the drama team up because drama team has something funny and creative, as usual.
We hope.
We hope. We okay. Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Lord, we are very grateful to be here today in the presence of our brothers and sisters, young and old. We are grateful to be here in your presence. Lord, we just thank you for being with us even when we don't realize it or recognize it. We need your presence, Lord. We need your help. We need your guidance for every day and every hour and every minute of our lives. So, Lord, help us today to be encouraged knowing that you are with us. And Lord, guide us and give us strength to follow you wholeheartedly. Just be with Debbie as she speaks today. Open your word to us. Help us to understand it better. And Lord, I pray that it will actually have an effect on our lives and we will actually act upon it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're looking at Luke 6:37. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Then Jesus gave the following illustration. Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will be able to see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye.
Thank you, Doug. That was awesome. Well, it's been a crazy year, hasn't it? I mean, this whole country's gotten all nutso divided, and everybody's making opinions about everybody else. Everybody thinks they've got everybody figured out, and they have no clue who we are. Judging is a huge problem. Our verse is on judging today. Wow, what a timely thing. Christians have gotten a bad rap about judging. I don't know if you've noticed, but there are some people out there that think that we have totally judged everyone else, we're totally self-righteous, and everybody else is wrong and we're right and they just need to get on our page. And so there's some people that are mad at us. Some ways we've earned some of it. There are some Christians who have been like that people. But in general, we just have taken the rap. Sometimes people are threatened by the fact that they kind of know there's something not completely right about their world. And when somebody gets a little too close to showing them why, they get nervous and angry and want to push us away because that's how you can stop us from talking, right? So, usually when they do that with a Christian, they bring out this verse. It's awesome. It's kryptonite. Stay away. Ha ha. This is going to stop you from judging me because I now understand that you're not supposed to be doing this. And your own scripture says so, and here's the proof. Only they like to do it in the King James. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Because it sounds cooler, right? right. So, for whatever reason, this verse gets used a lot. And it's a very powerful verse. And we probably should understand it, if nothing else, so that we understand what it really means when somebody puts it back on us, right? So let's take a look at it. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will come back against you. I like to say it'll come back to bite you. Wow. Do not judge others. Just don't do it. Does that really mean what everybody's saying it should mean? That we can't judge anything about others? That we can't, that we have to throw our brain out the window and everybody else gets to judge us? I mean, take a look at it. This is the verse that people use to judge us for judging them about judging. So that can't be right, right? All right. So what does it really say? Because it says, don't do it or you'll be judged. You'll be condemned. So maybe we ought to know what it says, because we don't want that to happen, right? All right. Well, it usually helps if we put things in context so we get an idea of what the whole of Jesus, what he's saying, because when you pick a sentence out of anything, it'll be all messed up. Any of our politicians can tell you those sound bites will kill them, when what they really said was this big and they took like a piece this big that made them sound the worst. So I think that's what's happened here. So I'm going to be crazy and I'm going to jump to the verse after the verse that we talked about today, just to let you know that we actually do get to judge somewhat, because the following verse is about a tree and does it produce good fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree that's is identified by its fruit. Figs never gathered from thorn bushes, grapes are not picked from bramble bushes, on and on and on. But what you say flows from what's in your heart. That's where you can tell where the good or the bad is. So we are supposed to do some judgment about some things. But let's get back to the flow, because that comes later and somebody else gets to preach on that part, right? Okay, so let's go the other way. The verse says something really challenging to us. Do not judge. It's really strong language. It says judge twice. It says condemn. And I think the condemn really defines the judge, the type of judgment that we're talking about here. The kind of judgment that puts you in a bad light, that makes you untouchable, that builds walls between us. But why is Jesus saying what he's saying right here? Let's go backwards. Last week and the week before, we were talking about, well, Dan had us, had Jesus picking the 12 apostles, right? The 12 disciples. So he's picking his crew, right? And then they come down off the mountain, and in verse 20, it says, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, and then he starts talking through the Beatitudes and he starts telling us these things. So here's the deal. Jesus is setting up his ministry. He's starting at the beginning with a brand new crew, and he needs them to understand how things are going to go. He's the teacher, they're the students, and anytime you walk into a new classroom, there's like a syllabus or there's a bunch of expectations. I'm a school bus driver. I get on my school bus at the beginning of the school year, and I tell the kids, okay, here's the expectations, everybody. Everybody has to have their seat on the seat, back to the back, keep your hands to yourself, and treat each other well. Okay? Setting the ground rules. Helping people understand how it's going to work. And I think that's part of what Jesus is doing here. He's helping the apostles understand how they need to get along for this experience, this teaching time, for this setting up the kingdom to start. Just take a picture in your mind of the people that Jesus is going to work with here. Okay? Well, we talked about it before. We've got a tax collector. We've got a group of fishermen. Some of them own their own business. Some of them work for those guys. There's a zealot, so he's like a really super religious guy that wants to take down the government and maybe blow up some buildings, because that's fun. And then we've got a thief who decides he wants to be the accountant for the group. I mean, really, we have a very diverse group of people. Some of them are probably, you know, have wives, some of them don't. But they come from all walks of life. And this is in a day and age when people from different walks of life didn't associate. I mean, you know, you worked with people on the street. Obviously, you went to the tax guy when you had to. But when you went home, you didn't talk to him. You didn't invite him to your house and party with him. You just probably mumbled horrible things about him and never got to know the guy. And yet, he's here in the group. Jesus chose him to be part of the group. And so there's all these class divisions. Now, we don't have any of those, right? Nah. I got to tell you this story because it just cracked me up. Mel, my husband, he used to paint cars for a living, right? And he would go to work and instead of having special coveralls with his name and everything, he just would wear the rattiest shirt in the closet. So that when he got paint on it, it didn't matter. So he'd wear really ratty clothes to work, and then he'd get overspray on him. So sometimes his beard would look frosty. And his hair got kind of long because he wasn't really paying attention and he hadn't shaved for a couple weeks. And he went to this Burger King and he bought a burger for lunch. And when he was done, he threw his tray in the garbage, and the keys went down. So Mel is digging through the garbage. Yeah. And the manager decided he was a bum. He came over and I'm like, can I help you, sir? And Mel goes, jingle, jingle, jingle. And he goes, oh, boom. Suddenly it made sense. This guy actually has a car. I mean, the judgments we make about people just from looking at them are horrible. I used to work with street people all the time, and some of the most amazing things came out of people with rainbow mohawks or, you know, chewed up webby stockings and all black and, you know, Constantine wire on the collar and all of that stuff. They were cool people. They helped us build our house. They did. And they loved me. And they would back me in a fight, which you wouldn't expect. I would be a fighter, but sometimes I had to. But it was all about who they are underneath. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about here when he talks about these pre-assumptions. That we need to lay all those things down. So he told them straight up not to judge each other. Class rules, number one, lay all that down. that's one of the reasons that we try to get each other to know each other here better at City's Edge. Because how are we going to know each other? How are we going to be able to be the body of Christ? How are we going to be able to be the kingdom of God if we don't know each other's stories? If I don't know more deeply about who you are, I'm going to have a hard time loving you. And if love is that thing that earmarks us as Christians to the world, then how is that going to happen? It's kind of important. So that's why we stick around in this building up for hours and talk and commiserate and cry with each other. Because, well, we're just getting to know each other, and it's huge. All right. So Stephen talked last week about love, and that's a crazy concept too, because, you know, Jesus is saying it's not just this warm fuzzy feeling, but even when people do mean things to you, even when they're your enemy, even when it's hard, even when all you get is hate in return, you're called to love. So he told him that. That leads into this verse. So here we go. And Jesus takes it another step. Lay it down. Lay down your judgment. You don't want to be judged, so don't judge others. Okay? Whew. Since each time Jesus says judge, it follows with condemn. It's that condemning that we need to avoid. Have you realized that when we judge each other, we don't know what we're doing? Jesus says that you'll learn from the teacher later on here. But we don't get it. We don't know what's in other people's hearts. And so we don't have the ability in us to judge people correctly. Jesus is the one who can judge people because he knows their hearts. Jesus knows the heart of a person. He knows what's led them to each point in their lives, and we don't. When I was in my 20s, my mom and I started to develop a relationship that was pretty much impossible. When I was a kid, it all worked out really good, her being the boss and me just listening to everything she said. But when I got a little older, that didn't really work for me. And my mom was very specific and very exacting about how everything needed to be done. And she wanted to make sure that I continued to do it that way. And even when I moved off to college, she kept telling me how to do things, telling me what she wanted, telling me she thought I was fat, telling me I should cover up my freckles, telling me I should cut my hair, that no man was ever going to like me the way I was, you know, that I needed to do this or that, or how to cross the street, it seemed like. I just felt it was constant. And when I was in college, I used to hang up on her after a while, after a few warnings. Mom, stop. Mom, stop. Click. Because the conversation had stopped. The relationship was breaking down. And I couldn't figure out how to fix it. When I got older, I got an apartment. I got out on my own. I made sure I lived long distance call range from her so that I had a good excuse not to call her on a regular basis. And I could, and she wouldn't call me quite as much. But it was hard. And then one day, I was going to church. These things happen. And the pastor was preaching about honoring your father and mother. And I realized I wasn't doing that. And it just went bam, right between the eyes. Oh no, now what am I gonna do? I can't seem to get this. I can't, as I went up on my knees to repent. It wasn't an easy thing. I had to figure out how to fix this relationship, and it seemed like it was all coming from her. Duh! I was judging my mother. As much as the judgment that she was doing was hurting me, I was judging her. And I needed to somehow lay that down, and I needed to somehow come to forgiveness of her in my heart before this relationship was going to continue. So I searched and I asked people and I dug, and then finally I heard James Dobson on the radio preaching about the tributes. Writing a tribute to your parents so that you honored them with your words. And I thought, okay, maybe this could work. So I started writing a tribute to my mom with all the things that were awesome about her. All the things, and it was, at first, I was like, I couldn't think of anything. And I really worked at it. Well, she's good at cleaning dishes. Well, you know, whatever. But as I progressed in my assignment, I started digging deeper and finding more and more things that I really do love about my mother. And I put them all out on paper, and for her birthday, I presented them to her with love, with all the love I could muster. And it was the beginning of repairing our relationship. Fascinatingly enough, there were still hot buttons, which she installed. And I had to learn to forgive around those things and just let her off the hook, because she's human too. Judgment is a hook that decides I am the one that has control to decide whether you're good or bad. And I don't have the brains for that. I don't have the heart for that. I can't understand that as deeply as it needs to be understood. Okay, so let's move on to the next piece of the puzzle. Verse 38, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
38. Yeah, there it is. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured out into your lap. The amount you give will be returned. The amount you give will be returned. Flowing over, running over. Now I figure some of that effort I put into my relationship, that was some of the giving that I got back. And until the day my mom died, we finally had repaired our relationship. But it's more than that too. I mean, when we give to people financially, it says something about we're investing in them. When we give our time to someone, it says we're investing in them. We care about them. We love about them. Mel would not have thought to start dating me without bringing flowers or paying for a meal. It's kind of how we show our affection for each other. If we invest here in our relationships with each other, some of us think it's pretty important that we put some money in the box in the back to help pay for the room and the ability to have our meal together and to be part of the process of doing ministry together. It's important to us. And the more important to us it is, tends to be the more we give. It's huge. It's a spiritual gift that God is going to give back to us. Not only give back, but overflowing into our lap and all over the floor. So what have we got to lose? All right. So then we go to verse 39. Jesus gave this illustration. Can a blind person lead another blind person? Won't they fall in a ditch? Now, what's that got to do with anything here? We need to get out of the way and let Jesus judge us, because we're not smart enough. We can't see the path. We can't judge others. We're just going to fall in a ditch. We're just not getting it. We're just as blind as the blind man. And then he says, students are not greater than their teacher. That illustrates it right there. But the student who's fully trained will become like the teacher. And that's what we want to be like. We want to be like Jesus. We want to be able to see what's right and wrong. We want to be able to go deeper. It's pretty clear here. This Jesus says we don't know enough to be able to sit in judgment over somebody. Jesus is the one who has the ability to judge fairly. So why do we do it? We just get in the way of truth. We just get in the way of love. We just throw up roadblocks that stop our relationships and our love from happening. So stop it! Don't judge, or I'll judge you, or Beth will judge you, I don't know. And why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye? Don't we have enough to do to work on our own stuff? I mean, really. I've got enough stuff to last a lifetime for me to work on. Why should I focus on trying to fix your stuff? I mean, I'm there to help you with your stuff. I want to help you with your stuff. I want to have a relationship with you, but it's not my job to fix your stuff. It's my job to fix my stuff. And if you can help me with that, I welcome that. But if you're just going to be all sitting in judgment over me, I'm going to shut the door. It's done. There's no relationship. It's got to go deeper. It's got to go deeper. We are very different from each other. We're not alike. And that's awesome. We're all different parts of the same body of Christ, and that's what the world is going to see of Jesus, is us together, working together. So, Jesus wants his followers to love each other. He set up the classroom. He says, this is it. This is where we learn together. Lay down your stuff and let me teach you. In the end, our judging just makes us unable to learn about the good things that God has for us. It blocks our hearts from learning how to love, and it makes us miserable, and it makes us lonely. It comes back to bite us. So let's choose joy. Let's choose to forgive. Let's choose to love. Let's choose to give generously. Let's choose Jesus. Shall we pray? Jesus, it's not easy to lay down judgment sometimes. I just ask for your help in doing that. I ask you to help remind us when we're doing that to others that we've got our own stuff to work on. I ask you to unite us, Lord, so that the world can see how beautiful you are. And I ask that you help people to see you more clearly every day. In Jesus' name, amen.